My dear friends, the most authentic geological book is this Bible. And the world out there, the other book that God wrote, coincides completely with this book. You find the fossils, you find the coal, you find the fuel, you find the layers exactly as the Bible tells you you would find it. And it's a fascinating experience to be able to go out into God's world with this book. And as you could see many of those pictures, to go through Yellowstone, Arizona, Drumheller, and we take tours. We're taking one at the end of July in the Drumheller area. Again, for everyone's on their own, but you're welcome. And to be able to tramp with your family amongst all of these things and just see it. And little boys and girls and teenagers, I tell you, it's something they never forget. They have seen with their own eyes this book, and the book of nature agree. And that's a tremendous strength to their faith, because you know that's exactly where Satan has hit them to try to destroy their faith in the Word of God. And the things that they use are our best friends. They tell the truth. The Bible is true. Now, we're dealing with numbers of catastrophes. Most Christians are familiar there was a global flood. All right? What is the next great catastrophe that the Bible presents? Well, it has to do with the division of the earth. In Genesis chapter 10 and verse 25, we are given the genealogy of ancient man. Some of this genealogy, as I'll explain in a minute, is talking about people who lived after the Tower of Babel. But here in Genesis 10, verse 25, it says, Eber was born. Unto Eber was two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his day was the earth divided, and that word divided means canaled by water. Now, Peleg lived after the Tower of Babel. You glance over to chapter 11 and verses 18 to 19. And it says, Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu, and Peleg lived 239 years. Now remember, we talked last night about the Tower of Babel and that all landmass was still together in one place. Sometime after the Tower of Babel, there is a picture of Tower of Babel, ancient Babylon. Sometime after, God confounded their language, scattered man all over the face of the earth. It mentions that three times. Then, in the days of Peleg, he canaled the earth. Now that is taken from a National Geographic magazine, and it shows you what scientists now believe. 25 years ago they didn't. They now believe that land mass up on the far corner there was all together at one time. Their first proposition was it came apart gradually. Now, and I have their writings, they claim it came apart suddenly. But they don't attempt to tell you what did it. All right? The Bible tells us land mass came to get apart after the Tower of Babel, after they were scattered over the face of the earth. The earth was canaled in the days of Peleg. They were separated. Maybe they were not separated as far apart as they are now. If you have a New American Standard Bible, the last verses of chapter 18 of Job tell you the feelings of the people in the east when they were separated from the people in the western part that were canaled. Now, that would have to be some terrible catastrophe. And it could have been then that the greater part of dinosaurs that had survived the flood and came ashore, here again, could be another devastation of even the ones that did survive. But it would affect much of the many of the people that were scattered abroad when this was canaled. Then we're going to look at the book of Job. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Now, it isn't the first book inside the cover, I know that. But it's internal evidence. It was written before Moses wrote Genesis. Genesis records things earlier. You remember when Satan was given permission to afflict Job in Job chapter 1, in verses 16 to 19. One of the first things that happened, fire and brimstone fell on Job's cattle. Now listen, Job lived in Arabia. Arabia was lush cattle country in Job's day. And now, fiery brimstone falls on his cattle. The ancient records, and Velikovsky mentions this, they claim Ishtar Venus rained fire all over Arabia. And you have on the screen a picture again of a comet in its elliptic orbit. And if you picture it coming this way, this is the Earth, and it comes in an almost collision course with the Earth, and the Earth going through the tail of that comet, then falling all over Arabia would be the things that Larry explained to us what would happen in that comet model. He also read to us from the book of Job, Job 38, verses 31 to 33. And God said, "Do you understand how the heavenly bodies, the planets, affect the earth? Even bodies away out there beyond our solar system." He also read to us from Job chapter 9 in the Living Bible, verses 5 to 10. Suddenly, not gradually, he moves the mountains, overturns them in his anger. Listen, the earliest book in the Bible recording the feelings and thought patterns and expression of ancient man, he speaks in catastrophic language. He overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth to its foundation. Remember, there would be terrible earthquakes. When it happens, you won't see the sun and you won't see the stars. If you went through the tail of a comet, it would be, as you have on the screen there, dark, red. Stuff is falling and debris. Someone asked me, if these kind of catastrophes happen, why don't men talk about it in the Bible? They do, but we don't listen to them. Furthermore, and I may forget, and I'm going to interject it here, Job talks about rivers freezing. Rivers don't freeze in Arabia. But he knew about them freezing. If you had that kind of debris, you know how the little firecracker of Mount St. Helens put debris into our atmosphere? What if you have the tail of a comet and spreading not only that debris, but causing volcanic eruptions at the same time all over the earth? Can you imagine the debris you've got and the shift of the crust of the earth, and you have large bodies of water evaporating and going up? And listen, the sun can't penetrate. And you're having cloud bursts of snow. You know what can fall in 5 hours of a cloud burst? What if you had cloud bursts for 5 and 6 months of extreme evaporation? The sun can't penetrate, and buildup of snow. That would create another ice age in a very short time. Building it up in the northern parts, causing terrible floods in the southern parts and near the equator. Now this could happen. We will see when we come to 800 B.C. The same kind of thing could happen. Now I'll mention that because if we don't, someone will ask, what about more than one ice age? Yes, there could be more than one ice age. And that is another way it could happen. Now, coming back to the book of Job. Today, the land of Arabia is desert. Some of the ancient cities have not been buried. They're still there and scream at us. Look, this area has become a desert, not millions of years ago, in historical times. Now that ought to help you get your time pattern kind of straight. Furthermore, there is a volcanic range of mountains running north and south in Arabia. And they have only recently stopped erupting. And Arabia is covered by many places, hundreds of feet of lava and volcanic material that buried many of the cities and the civilizations that were in Arabia. And those that do remain attesting the country was as the Bible says it was. I enjoy to talk with geologists about these things from the Bible, because the Bible explanation makes sense with what you find in Arabia. Then, all over the top of this are 28 fields of harass. That's meteoric fallout. Burnt stones, just like we have here on the table, from Drumhiller and other places, meteoric iron. And there are various kinds of meteors. Some are iron. Some you cannot tell them from earth rocks unless you saw them fall. All over Arabia are rocks burnt, shattered, broken. They are not worn by erosion. They haven't been there millions of years. They're laying on top of the ground. One of the fields is 100 miles across. I took that picture when I visited the Bible land, the west side of Arabia, just an example of stony ground, and didn't realize what I had until after I read about it. There is a little sample of harass. Meteoric fallout all over the ground. The Bible tells us brimstone did fall on Arabia. Ancient record says Ishtar Venus. It was Venus. Listen, Venus has the remains of a comet tail. That's one of their recent discoveries. And the ancients said it was coming in an elliptic orbit near the Earth. Then when you remember that in the tail of a comet is hydrogen and carbon, and with a catalyst of iron, which meteoric iron provides all you need, you have petroleum hydrocarbons falling. And that is one of the meanings of the word brimstone. Petroleum hydrocarbons fell over Arabia. Friends, where are the great deposits of petroleum today? Any idea? Where? Where the Bible said they fell. Coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. Now, what we're talking about Arabia, on the west side of Arabia is Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah are in the African or the Jordan Rift that comes up, a rift from the Red Sea, which we'll see tomorrow. The African Rift joins, jabs up the Jordan Rift. Sodom and Gomorrah, it seems evident, were at the south end of what is the south end of the Dead Sea. And you can see where the landmass has sunken from the mountains, broke the rivers that flowed. Genesis 19 says two angels. Now remember, you read in Job, when Satan was given permission, he could trigger off brimstone and fire. Here are two angels, and they come, and they are telling Lot and his family they are going to bring judgment. You remember, the Sodomites wanted to bring these two angelic creatures, which in the ninth chapter are interchanged and called men, and then back to angels. They said, bring them out so we can sexually rape them. Homosexuality with angelic beings that were going to bring destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah and the area. You remember later, and if you have your Bible, when Lot suggested that he'd take his daughters out and they could do with them what they wanted. My God, what is the man thinking? The angels reached out, pulled them in, shut the door, and smote the people with blindness. Did you remember the next morning? They said to Lot, and he wasn't able to muster any other of his family circle but his wife and his two daughters, and they said to get out of here quickly. And they took them by the hand because they said, we can't do anything until you get out. You remember Abraham had prayed? Lord, he went from 50 down to 10. Lord, if there was any, even 10, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he quit. There were less than that. When the angel said, look, when I pour out my wrath, you got to get out of here. Does that tell you anything about the future wrath of God that's coming? If he couldn't do it for four of them, and God isn't going to grab us by the hand and try to run us out, he's going to make sure we all make it. Do you remember Lot's wife turned back? And she was caught under what you were looking at, the volcanic ash, and now that fiery judgment that fell. Do you remember what happened to her? She was turned into a fossil. Yes. From organic to mineral. By the fallout of brimstone, just like I have here. Organic material turned into fossils by brimstone that fell on top of it. I saw the same thing in Pompeii, which was not as hot as what fell. They say it turned into a salt, the organic body, maybe of a mother laying over her baby or a dog upside down. Later, it disintegrated and you had a hollow. When they're excavating, they filled the hollow with plaster of Paris, chipped away the volcanic debris. There you would have a perfect mold. The kind of thing that the Bible said happened to her, the evidence is all over the world, that kind of brimstone does make fossils, not over millions of years, in a few minutes. Now remember, that's on the west side of Arabia. And to this day, float big chunks of pitch break out of the bottom of the Red Sea and come floating up. Right where the Bible said it fell. And if you're a rock collector, go to the south end of the Dead Sea and you'll pick up all kinds of rocks just like we pick up in Drumheller. And hot, igneous rock. And when God said they fell, you can go there and collect it. You can go there and see it. I don't believe the Bible. That's a bunch of myth. They never read the Bible. They couldn't say that. What the Bible says and God's book out there, they agree 100% about Arabia and Sodom and Gomorrah. That they did undergo this kind of terrible, fiery destruction. I want you to get these things straight, because tomorrow night we're going to talk about once more, God said, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. Now, if you get these straight, someone says, I don't understand the book of Revelation. It will be as simple as ABC. You say, well, I don't know how to interpret it. That's the problem. You don't interpret it. You believe it. I know people on Open Line. They say, Reverend, there are so many interpretations of the Bible. We don't know which one to agree. I say, I agree with you. You don't interpret it. You believe it exactly what it says. And there's no argument. All right? Let's move now to 1500 B.C. We're coming to the time of the Exodus. The children of Israel in slavery in Egypt. Larry mentioned about Emmanuel Belikovsky. And that article in the Reader's Digest that you can get, it's February 1976, and I have one here in my hand. I took part of the Reader's Digest out, so I have it. You would read in this, Belikovsky tells how he was reading Exodus chapter 9. Now, if you want to look at it, And you that pride yourself on being literalists, evangelicals, you explain why you miss this. In verse 16, he said, "In very deed, for this cause I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name might be declared throughout all Egypt." Did I read it right? No. Throughout all the earth. Global? Global. Oh. And Velikovsky, being a historian, immediately, he knew in 1500 B.C., there is a record like this in Central America. There's one in Brazil. There's a record in China. There's records all over the earth that the kind of thing that is recorded in Exodus fell. Like the Bible said, it would be global. Now, God describes what detailed, what fell on Egypt, but don't forget it. He said it affected the whole earth. And this can be documented by historical records. That's what his book, Worlds in Collision, by Emmanuel Velikovsky, paperback, that you can get, is the records of ancient people that correlate this and other catastrophes that are mentioned in the Bible. And it's the greatest scholarly work that any human being has done in our day to prove the accuracy of the history of this book. He does not believe in the literal spiritual truth. Isn't that amazing? And we got evangelicals. They believe in the literal spiritual part, but don't believe the other part of it. Now, when we read this in detail of what happened, I haven't time tonight to read this. Various records where you find this. And in some of the records, it's this debris coming from the sky and it's raining fire. And I've seen them in Mexico in the museums, the pictures of fellows sitting there with hot bitumen stuck all over them. And it happened in that period. We're going to look. Don't lose Exodus. Turn to Psalm 78. And this is the record of the Egyptian catastrophe in Psalms 78, verse 48. He gave up their cattle also to hail, their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger. Hot thunderbolts, hail, is the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels amongst them. This kind of catastrophe is also called evil angel activity. Remember when God permitted Satan, he could trigger off that kind of activity on Job? He used evil angels to do it. He used two holy angels to bring it on Sodom and Gomorrah. Now do you understand why angels are connected with the catastrophes in the book of Revelation? The same kind of catastrophes? He made a way to his anger and spared not their soul from death, and he gave their life over to pestilence. Hot, molten material falling is called his wrath, his anger, his indignation. The activity of evil angels who are given permission to do it, and it is a way of his anger and pestilence. wasn't just an accident. It was divine intervention and spirit beings that carried it out. We have satellites that we control. We are a little lower than angels. Angels can control planets when they are given permission by God. And I would like to suggest to you, when you read about hosts in the Bible, you don't know whether you're reading about what you understand to be a rock, materialistic planet, or a living personality. Or is it both? And why are they forbidden to worship planets? Because in the Bible they are spoken of as living entities. And the Bible tells us that he has judged some of them. And we're going to look at some of those planets. We've had spacecrafts up there photographing them. And lo and behold, what God said happened on them, there it is. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 20, one of the first things that happened, and Larry explained this to it, the first thing that would happen going through the tail of a comet is red cosmic dust fell. And in chapter 7 and verses 20 to 21, the waters are turned blood red. They turned blood red in Mexico. They turned blood red in other countries. It is in historical records. When Mount St. Helens blew up, we were holding a seminar in our capital city of Saskatchewan, Canada. And as you know, in a few hours, that dust drifted right across the continent. And if you would like to, God gave us an unbelieving generation. He gave us some very vivid pictures of what natural phenomena can do so that you can understand past catastrophes and future. Would you like to look at Isaiah 64? This is a prayer about God's future judgment. Oh, that you would rend the heaven. Boom! Big explosion. That you would come down. That the mountains might flow down at your presence. Mountains exploding. Flowing down at his presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the water to boil. Do you remember the fish jumped out of the water and the waters boiled? To make his name known to thine adversary, that the nations might tremble at thy presence. Not only the old, tough, old lumberjack that was near when it blew, and he said, it scared the hell out of me. Would to God you could get hell out of a fellow like that. But what are you saying? I tremble, God said, that the nations might tremble. And in a few hours, all of them were looking up, seeing the little, just a little firecracker, a little minute one in comparison to what's happened in the past. As when you did terrible things, which we look not for, for thou camest down and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. You remember how long it took to strip the trees off of Mount St. Helens and blast them 17 miles? And that's the way you find petrified forest, as Roger told us. Ripped out by the roots, buried under volcanic ash in log jams, and the rocks and the dirt are baked and burnt in the roots. And here's a piece of petrified wood, and it has the same jacket, and I'll hold it so the camera can pick it out. It has the same jacket around it as this piece of petrified fossil from Grand Prairie, Alberta. Same jacket. And this is found all over the world. Now, when you have this picture, and I wouldn't want the demonstration that God gave us that we didn't think about it for a few minutes, because it'll help us to understand what happened here at the Exodus. Now, in the Exodus, whatever is happening on earth, when a comet came near, there would be volcanic eruption. Remember, it's happening on the comet head. There is volcanic eruption, ash streaming out in its tail. And if the earth goes through that, this kind of stuff is falling on the earth. And when they showed you about the little moon Io on Jupiter, off of Jupiter, and the electricity going through it, 3 trillion volts, the National Geographic gives us a picture of volcanic eruptions erupting 175 miles above the surface of the little moon Io. Listen, there have been volcanic eruptions like that on the earth, and there is no known force on our planet itself alone to erupt volcanoes at that dimension. There has been a heavenly body come near. It has triggered off this kind. I was telling in Regina, the dust fell, and when the pastor where I was staying, his wife went out, it was in the spring, and she took a wet cloth and went to wipe the white picnic table out in the yard. It turned red. You see, when it blew up, it separated different gases and different levels. At Eston, we didn't have ash, but you could smell sulfur. And this, apparently, that fell on Regina was the levels of separation of great particles of iron. So, but the cloth and the water turned red. That happened in Egypt. The waters turned blood red. And they couldn't drink it. Exodus 7:24, they had to dig wells. You remember when Mount St. Helens blew up? They had to say, don't drink water from the reservoirs. We got to go to the wells. That happened further to the east as well. In Montana. And that was just a little one. In chapter 9, and I'll just tell you something when before I read it, Exodus chapter 9 and verses 8 to 10. Somebody asked, what was the volcanic eruption like in Mount St. Helens? The fellow said, you want to know what it's like? Stick your head in the fireplace, stir the ashes up, and leave your head in it. That's a good description. Now, if you can laugh at that, can you understand what God said to Moses? He said, Moses, take your hands full of ashes from the furnace, the brick kilns. Go in before Pharaoh. Now he walks into the court, and he threw it into the air. Can you see old Pharaoh? And the fellows in the court, he said, this is going to fall all over Egypt. What an object lesson. Ash. Then, in verse 18 of Exodus 9, tomorrow about this time I'll cause it to rain very grievous hail as it moves into the denser part of the comet tail. Now we're getting into hail. And And down in verse 22, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, there may be hail in all the land. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven in verse 23, and there was thunder, and there are two words for thunder. The regular world for thunder and great explosive noises. And this one is great explosive noises. Imagine when, and the word hail is barad, hot rock. You got dust, you got hot rock, you've got terrible, thunderous explosions. In my Bible, looks like it's got smallpox because I have the word hail, fire, hail, circled. In Psalm 105 and verse 32 to 33, God said, I gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in the land. He smote their vines and also their fig trees and brake the trees in their coast. Fire, breaking, stones, barads, falling. Remember, this is recorded in other countries of the world happening the same time like God said it would. Then there is the record of terrible thunderbolts and fire running along the ground. You have that in verse 23. Imagine as you picture in your mind. Now listen, you get these straight. Then when you read Revelation chapter 16, you have a repetition of the same thing. And you understand it. And you can share with your friends and neighbors. What do you think is going to happen? You can tell them what's going to happen. And as you'll see tomorrow night, scientists are predicting exactly the same things. Because we are not going through an empty universe. And they are alarmed. Because there are over 800 Apollo asteroids in Earth-crossing orbit. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night. This thunder, this hail, this fire, the Egyptian papyrus. Now, not only is it recorded now in the Mayas, in Brazil, in China, Egyptian papyrus. This is what they say. Gates, columns, and walls are consumed by fire. The sky is in confusion. The fire almost exterminated mankind in 1500 B.C. Another papyrus record says, the land is utterly perished. The sun is veiled and shines not. Oh, that the earth would cease from its noise, the awful, thunderous, and tumult be no more. Towns are destroyed. No fruit nor herbs are found. Plague is throughout the land. Listen, I heard Emmanuel Velikovsky debate with Carl Sagan and others in San Francisco in 1974 from 8:30 in the morning to 10:30 at night about these things, and I never heard Carl Sagan or one other scientist give one valid rebuttal to what that man said. They ridiculed, they made fun, and what that man said now, they're having to swallow it. Because the scientists that met, and as you were read to, the magazine this month, scientists from from all over the world came together and they said, this is the most feasible explanation of what happened to our planet that we know yet. And I heard them say, Velikovsky, if you're right, we're crazy. And if you're right, we're crazy and we'll go trucking. And they haven't gone trucking. And they were a long time before they even got the word comet in them. They called it an asteroid, but they said, where did it fall? Where is this pop mark? Now they put the word comet in it. And I just like to say it, and I don't want to be nasty. They're swallowing their pride and coming in the back door. And they say the evidence all over the world is it was a fiery fallout that did it. And the Bible said that all the time. They boycotted Velikovsky's book. Macmillan had to sell their rights to Doubleday. The scientists said, we'll break you if you publish it. I'd like to know how that's science. And that is documented. That happened. And when men began to produce truth that coincides with the battle, with the Bible, you're locked in a spiritual battle, not an intellectual battle. And you see how they react. And friends, that is why it is time that Christians speak plainly and clearly what the Bible says. It can be proven by the world out there in minute detail. The Midrashic, that's Jewish writing, said, the Egyptians refused to let the Israelites go, and he poured out naphtha over them, burning flames. Naphtha is the Aramaic and the Hebrew word for petroleum. And their records say, he poured naphtha, petroleum, over the Egypt. That's what the Bible says too. Then you remember, there was darkness over the land in chapter 10 and verse 21. It was so dark that people never moved out of their house for 3 days and they couldn't even penetrate it with candles. You remember when Mount St. Helen erupted? Where it was dense, they sat in the house. And lights, car lights, wouldn't penetrate it. Cars came to a standstill, plugged the whole mechanism. Jets didn't dare fly over it, because when you give them a valve job of volcanic dust, they don't last very long. Can you imagine when this begins to erupt all over the earth in the last days? Can you imagine how much value a jet plane's going to be? You know how quickly all our automotive will come to a standstill? God gave us a little picture of what he describes in the Bible has happened in the past and is going to happen in the future. And I want to ask you, even as a Christian, how much more do we need to hear before we wake up and realize, hey, this is for real. And the time is short. And what this book says, you can believe. And we live by faith, believing what God said in his word. And I trust that what you are hearing will give you confidence from Genesis to Revelation that I can trust your word, O God. It is true, and it's forever settled in heaven. Thank God it's settled in my heart and my mind that I can trust it. Psalm 105, verse 27 to 28. He showed his signs and darkness, and he made it dark. Then we come to Exodus 14, 21 to 22, 29. If a heavenly body came near the earth, now listen carefully. I am not saying you can explain every miracle in Exodus by some natural law that God used. But a great deal of it you can. If you brought a heavenly body near, supposing that great big one on the horizon is a heavenly body in comparison to the moon, and you looked out and saw that on the horizon, can you imagine what that would do if the moon lifts tides 40 feet? Can you imagine what that kind of a heavenly body, what kind of tide it would lift? You know what happens when a jet breaks the sound barrier and water stands up? With the magnetic pull of a body, water would stand up like a wall. And God said He caused a great wind, and He caused division of the water. And the Jewish ancient record says the mucky ground they went across was warm and solid. And water stood up, as it says in Exodus 14, 21 to 22 and 29, it stood up as a wall on the right hand and on the left. And the cloud was behind them. And darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites. And when they got across, God said, Moses, stretch out your rod. Whether it was one of those great lightning bolt exchanges between the planet and earth, it matters not. God uses His own laws. The wall collapsed and drowned the whole host of the Egyptian army. Other records tell us the Mediterranean Sea went away back and then came slamming into the shore again. God said it'd affect the whole earth. Now, at the same time, we have records of what was happening on the island of Crete where the great Minoan civilization existed. And there's a very interesting article that you can get if you'd like to read it. Reader's Digest, November 1967, The Explosion That Changed the World. This article says, in the 15th century B.C., smack on the Bible date of the Exodus, 1500 B.C., the island of Santorino blew up in a mighty explosion. And the volcanic dust, the wind was coming from the northwest, and it gives a picture in this article, and you can see on the picture where it is spreading volcanic dust all across Crete. And you know what Mount St. Helens did now, and that was a little firecracker. Can you imagine what it was doing to Egypt? Now, this is one eruption that they can pinpoint. Remember, you could pinpoint similar eruptions in Mexico, in Brazil, in China, at the same time. But this article tells you what happened. This great explosion and the volcanic ash drifting across the island of Crete. And later, when the volcano had spent itself, it fell in on the empty crater, and the article tells us it sent a tidal wave 1 mile high, traveling at 200 miles an hour and slammed it across the island of Crete and caused terrible devastation. At the same time, there was great earthquakes on the island of Crete. And the temples and their buildings collapsed. Now, there are many sources that you can read this. Remember, we told you we quote from sources that you can find. Not because it cannot be found in Science Magazine, but you can get it. Here's February 1978. Minoans and the Mycenaeans. This article tells you that in 1500 BC, there was a horrible devastation that fell on the island of Crete. And I'm sorry that I didn't refer to that volcano with its eruption and forming a empty spot, and then later it collapses in on it and causes a great tidal wave, just so that you can see why that's put there. Now, this article in the National Geographic tells us in 1500 BC there was a terrible destruction of the Minoan civilization. Furthermore, in February 1981, this year, and I'm going to open it up, and we don't have the slide of this, but I'll put it on the TV camera so those of you that are watching the TV monitors. The drama of death in a Minoan temple. There's a picture of a priest with the ceiling collapsing in on him, and you who cannot see it, you'll have to use your imagination. But I'm going to hold it back here a little further where I can read it, and maybe it'll still be on the camera. 37 centuries ago, in a time when savage earthquakes were rocking the island of Crete, a Minoan priest sought to avert final catastrophe with a rare, desperate act. To the deity of his hillside temple, he offered up the ultimate sacrifice, a human life. But the victim died in vain. Scarcely had his death rattle ceased than a climatic trembler brought the temple roof and massive stone walls tumbling to earth, killing the priest beside the body of the young man he had just slain, and it tells later he had cut his jugular vein. At the same time, the falling roof killed two others. One, a young lady. The other, they don't know whether it was a man or lady. And he was carrying in his hand a libation jar with the blood that he had just got from the sacrifice. And he was going to take it into the inner temple. And when the earth shattered and rocked and the roof fell in and trapped them. And then it says, the lamps that were burning set fire to the timbers and burnt the walls. I'd sure like the fellow who wrote that to light my fireplace that way. Can you imagine a little oil lamp when the roof falls in remaining lit to start fire to timbers? The walls are burnt all over the Minoans, the paintings, by they don't know what. The Bible said fire, brimstone, lightning bolts, horrible
fire that ran along the ground fell all over the earth. And friends, these are recorded. And again, we thank these people for spending millions of dollars, putting it in color, putting the date on it to tell us our Bible is true. And they didn't intend to do that. Someone says, you know, Christians ought to do more research about it. Well, I don't mind the other side of the camp doing the research and going to the expense and put it in my hand for a very nominal fee. Whether it's the Reader's Digest or the National Geographic that confirms my Bible every month. I can't wait to get hold of them, because every one of them, they're confirming something else. And when you have the keys of the Word of God, listen, you are going to do the same thing. Everything you read is going to jump at you. And you're going to share it. And some of you that say, you know, I can't talk to people. I'm going to tell you, you can talk and you can talk to people. And when you've got something like this, you know, hey, look what came out this month. Yeah, even to your atheistic friend. Or like Larry talking as he did when he was in the police force to the policeman on duty. These fellows, you couldn't get near them with a 10-foot pole. And they would sit riveted. And many of them accepted Jesus Christ. Listen, this kind of witnessing material makes you an effective witness in a day when these things are coming once more. And at a time when we need the confidence that what the Word of God says is the truth. Now, this article that I held up February 1978 says, 50 years later, there was another catastrophe, and that finished them. If you turn to Joshua chapter 10, and in my Bible, the date on the top of my Bible is 1451. The Exodus, 1500 BC. These people tell me 50 years later, another one hit, and that finished it. They had rebuilt some of their temples, their cities. Some of the country that hadn't been buried by ash from Santorino the first time, the way they found this remains of Santorino, they're using that volcanic ash, which is 100 foot thick. They came across the city underneath it. And they used that volcanic ash for cement. All right? 50 years later, it says another one. They don't know what it is. Well, I would like to recommend the authentic geological, archaeological textbook that'll give you the details what happened. It came to pass, verse 11 of chapter 10. That they fled from before Israel. They were going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones, and that word is berad, rocks, from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died. And there were more which died with the hailstones, rocks, than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Hot rock is falling out of the sky. And again, if the earth, as you have on the screen, is going through the tail of a comet, hot rock is falling. Now something else happened. It says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood in the midst of the heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it before or after, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For listen, the Lord fought for Israel. How does God fight? Rocks are falling out of the sky, and something happens to the tilt of the earth, and the sun and the moon remain in the sky. Now, I wish I had remembered to bring a globe here, but I'll have to use my hands. You see my little fingers there? That's where Joshua is fighting. Out there is the sun and the moon. And the earth is turning on its axis. And you know, if it kept on turning, Joshua will be away from the sun. It'll be in the dark. But a heavenly body comes near and flips the poles like this. And the earth is still turning. Look at Joshua. He's in the sun and the light of the moon. And I can't go all the way around. For about a day. Do you know that is recorded in China? Do you know it is recorded in Mexico? But in Mexico, back here, it is the long night. And remember, these magazines say a fiery catastrophe because the walls and palaces are burnt of that Minoan civilization. They're burnt by some kind of fiery catastrophe. The record said 1500 B.C. was one. 50 years later was the final one that wiped out that civilization. And if we could see, and maybe while I was talking, they put them on the scene. But see those beautiful paintings? Somebody asked me, if man was so highly advanced, how come his paintings weren't advanced? Well, I'd like to suggest that looks better than some of the things I see in our advanced age. And if you just think 2,000 years from now, which there will not be that kind of time, they find our masterpieces of creative art buried today. Can you imagine how intelligent they'll come through we were? Look at some of their... look at this junk pottery. That's only one little sample. Beautiful pottery. Ancient man was what God said they were. And what destroyed them? The catastrophes that are mentioned in the Bible. In Amos chapter 9, it mentions, and this is after it happened, and it's predicting a future one. It's Amos 9, verse 7. Are not ye as children of Ethiopia? One of the most devastated spots on the earth is Ethiopia. We'll likely see that tomorrow night. He said, O children of Israel, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? He is talking in 800 B.C., which we will study, and I guess we can't attempt to do it tonight, tomorrow night. 800 B.C., he said, it's going to be like the thing that destroyed Egypt and the Philistines from Kaphtor. Kaphtor is Crete. And in Jeremiah 47:4, The Philistines are called a remnant of Caphtor. A remnant is people that are left over from a catastrophe. That's what Philistines are. And they fled to the country that they named after them, Palestine. And you remember, these kind of people lived in beautiful temples. But their record says the queen cohabited with a white bull and produced a man-bull combination. And of course, everybody laughs at mythology until now. That is now feasible in today's science. This is why God destroyed them. Genetic engineered, manipulated, sexual perversion unions that produce high-bred monstrosities where God said, let them bring forth after their kind. Don't you tinker with it. Let them. And do you remember their men? Every one of the Canaanite kings were giants. Years later, when the Israelites came, Goliath was from the island of Crete ancestry. His brothers, giants, six fingers, six toes, from the island of Caphtor. These were the remnant from Caphtor, left over from the catastrophe that wiped them out. Whether they were away on ship at the time or how they were preserved, we don't know. But just a remnant went to the Bible land and they reinstated the ancient Minoan occult witchcraft, high-bred, genetic manipulated creatures. Someone said, I don't understand why God said, you know, wipe out men, women, children. Listen, there is no redemption for genetic, satanic, manipulated genetic creatures. Satan cannot make personalities. But he can manipulate genes and create a body and put a demon personality in it. And we're heading for it again. Because Satan knows he's going to be thrown out, and his angels, and his place is going to disappear that he came from. He's going to be cast to earth. And listen, your boy and girl is being educated from your kindergarten TV programs to your comics to accept these Star War grotesque dragon manipulated Darth Vader and all the rest of the crew. Robot computers with demons in them. Your child is being programmed to receive them as their friends and they're playing with them as their toys. And you need to be aware of what's happening. And they could care less about evolution. They're fascinated with that Star War, cosmic, other life out there, their friends. And they're being taught how to communicate with them. And they're being taught these are our saviors. And the only people that escape are to make friends with them. Listen, that's what happened to the Minoans. That's what happened to the Canaanites. And after 400 years, God left them and He brought Israel in. And here again was a whole civilization of giant, hybrid creatures, kings, ruling people. And God said, wipe them out, men, children, animals, everything, because they've polluted genetically everything. That is not diminish a God of love. That says the God of justice will not permit His power and His word to be flaunted and blasphemed in His face by men who sexually and other ways pervert genes and go the route that the ancient Minoans went, the Egyptians, Akhenaten, two navels, deformed hips. Parent magazine this month tells you some of these genetic engineered test tube babies affect them, can affect them here. And that's the kind of pictures you see of the god kings of Egypt. Giant creatures in Canaan. Giant Maya king, six fingers, six toes. Genetic engineered, perverted sexual union of demon and human with babies with a snake leg held in the arms of a Madonna. And the child marries his mother because she's been a successful incubator, to try to reproduce hybrid seed. And God wipes it out. And that's what you've been hearing tonight. Fiery catastrophes and floods that have wiped out high peaks of civilization that have gone the route that we are going once more. I'm glad to be able to tell you there is a way out of this. And it's through Jesus Christ. And He came to save us. And He gave us His book. And He said, let me tell you what happened in the past, so you will not be caught deceived in the days that are ahead of you, and that you will know the days are upon you. And if you believe such things, what manner of people ought we to be? Christian, I know you sense so deeply in your heart, the time is short. The satanic spread is ripe. We haven't long. Let us do what the Bible says. Redeem, buy up every opportunity to spread His word. Quit playing. Paul said, it's high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our redemption nearer than when we believed. And you can trust this book. It's never been easier to believe than now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I plead with you tonight. Before, once more, said God, upon the world civilization that has gone the cycle over again, I will do shake heaven and earth. That's where it begins. And these things will be repeated. God has never sent judgment once but what He made a way of escape. And there is a way out tonight, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when He again pours out His wrath upon this world, He will not just take us by the hand and run for the mountains. That didn't work with Lot. We're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord when He begins to pour out His anger, His wrath, and His angels, and unholy ones are let out of the pit. Grotesque. Women's hair, lion teeth, scorpion tail, demonic embodiments. that begin to destroy the earth. Isn't it wonderful to have a book that tells you the whole story? You can trust. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. And Christian, dedicate your life to God as you never have before. And do the work He's called us to do before it's too late. Tomorrow evening, we will be talking about the future judgments. And if you've got these straight, it is the climax of the confirmation of God's holy word that it is true. Pastor, would you come?
Shall we stand? Again this evening, if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you have not given your life to His Lordship, and you would like to do so, which I think is about the wisest thing you could ever like to do, in light of what is happening in our world, history repeating itself, coming again to a peak, and as we are peaking in this development of our civilization, following the pattern of the ancients, who also experienced a peak that led to genetic experimentation, led to all kinds of fornication that brought the judgment of God. So we are so close to once again seeing God's judgment fall upon this planet Earth. But thank God there is a way out. It's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ, we encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Pastors will be back there to meet with you and pray with you. Again, we thank you for your attendance here tonight. And I again have found the information thoroughly interesting, exciting, as we see again God's Word confirmed in the world around us. May the Lord be with you and bless and keep you. And may the hand of the Lord strengthen you that you might accomplish the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name.